Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. This is God's word. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, first of all, what's the takeaway? The takeaway is that God not only knows the future, God controls the future. You and I need to understand that the God who created all things is the sovereign Lord. He is in control. And what Abram was experiencing, on the one hand, he just had great success, great victory. He'd gone out and led a coalition of forces with his 318 trained soldiers. He had an army on standby, ready to fight if needed. And when it was needed, he had led them out, and they'd had total victory over the enemy. And so when that's over with, Abram sang, ha, ha, da, 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 da. No. Abram sang, what's it all going to come to? I don't have any kids. My name means exalted father. And my wife is barren. We're not able to have children. Everything that I've built up, all this wealth, everything I have, it's all going to go to my servant. I'll have no heir except somebody who's worked for me for a long time. So he's sad in the wake of victory. He's disappointed. He has longing in his heart. And when God shows up to meet with him and says, don't be afraid. I am your shield and your great reward. Folks, God's telling the truth. That's what should thrill us more than anything else. What should bring us great joy is that we delight in the Lord. He is our great reward. If what you're looking forward to in heaven is having a mansion on a gold street, you don't understand heaven. Heaven is about being with him. That's what makes it heaven. So, God tells him, I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. And he says, oh, Lord, what can you give me? I don't have a son. I don't have an heir. I don't have any children at all. Eliezer is going to inherit everything. Imagine every time somebody calls his name, every time he has to introduce himself. Exalted Father. It's painful. It's hard. And so he's complaining to God about his circumstances. And when he does so, God says, you're not going to be childless. Look at this. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And then he takes him outside and he says, try and count the stars, if you can count them. He says, I tell you the truth, more than you can count, that's how many offspring you're going to have. You won't be able to keep track. You're going to be the exalted father. God's going to change his name later to Abraham, which means the father of many. And God changes his name to that before he has any children. Let me just tell you something. God is able to speak things over you that don't fit at all with the way things look or the way things feel, and they're true. God knows the future. God controls the future. So you and I need to believe God, not our circumstances. Because Abram's circumstances said, I'm an old man. I'm childless. I'm going to die that way. Those were the facts. But God says, yeah, you're going to have children, Abram. You're going to be a father. You're going to be the father of many. You are the exalted father. I have said so. That's the way it's going to be. What do you believe? Do you believe your circumstances or do you believe God? I remember wondering about what God had told me when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, God not only told me he wanted me to have a children's home, but he told me he was going to give me the property. When is that going to happen? Maybe after I retire, God will give us a place. Well, God could have done that if he wanted, but that wasn't his plan. Instead, one day, out of the blue, on my day off, we got a phone call at the house about this land. And then out of all the folks who applied to get this land, they chose us. Who do you think arranged that? That was God. You see, God had put that vision in our hearts. But year after year after year after year, it was like, is this ever going to happen? We can't make it happen. We don't have the power to make this happen. We can't do this. But God can. God can. So believe God, not your circumstances. And the reason is because circumstances change, but God doesn't. I've known people who were broke and they became rich. And I've known a bunch of people who were rich and they ended up broke. Circumstances change. God doesn't change. So don't focus on circumstances. Don't believe your circumstances. Believe God. I don't mean live in denial. Don't be an ostrich with your head in the sand. You don't have to try and manipulate reality in order to speak it into being. God will do everything he promised in his own time. He'll do it his way, and he'll get all the glory. It's not up to you to create your own reality, and it is not giving glory to God to pretend that something is so when it hasn't happened yet. But I will tell you this, when God promises something, you need to say, this is what God says, and I believe. Go to his word, read what he says, and lay hold of those promises, and know that that is true. Because God always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus.
I want you to see something else that happened here in this passage. And that is God gave Abram some specific instructions. First, he took him outdoors, told him to count the stars. According to my footnotes, in the Middle East, away from ambient light, on any given night, you should be able to see about 8,000 stars. I don't think Abram got to 8,000. I can't say that for sure. But judging from the fact that God said, if you can count them, I would say that Abram probably gave up after a while because he got the message. God said, that's what it's going to be like with your descendants. So God gave him something to do, but then God gave him something else to do. When God told him he's going to have all these children, Abram said to him, O Sovereign Lord. Now, when he calls him, O Sovereign Lord, he's saying, I know you're in control, but O Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of this land? Because God said, I'm going to give you this land to take possession of it. And so the Lord says, we're going to have a covenant. We're going to have an agreement. And in order to bring that covenant into being, God says, I want you to do these things. When God makes a covenant sign, it is a picture that involves death. Because that's how serious it is. That's what's on the line. Life and death are on the line in a covenant. In the new covenant that we celebrate today as followers of Jesus, there are two great covenant signs. One is baptism. What is that a picture of? Well, according to Scripture, it is a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's how the Scriptures describe baptism. It's a picture of Jesus dying for us, being buried, and raised to life again. That's the New Testament picture. It's a covenant sign that involves death. What is the other great sign of the covenant that we celebrate as followers of Jesus? It is the Lord's Supper. It is the bread and the wine. And what does Jesus tell us about that? He takes those ancient elements from the Passover celebration, and when he offers them the bread. He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He offers them the cup, and he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The Bible says we're to do in order to show forth the Lord's death until he comes. We're celebrating what had to happen in order for us to be saved, in order for the promise to be kept. Someone had to die. And so God orders a sacrifice, a particular kind of sacrifice. He tells Abram, you're to gather up these animals, and they have to be 3 years old. Why? Well, because God said so. Well, is that like symbolic of Jesus being about 30? He was in his 30s when he was crucified? Maybe. I don't think necessarily so. It's just when God gives us directions, he's generally very specific. Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. And then in obedience to the Lord, Abram slaughters those animals, cuts their bodies in half. Try to imagine cutting a heifer in half. A heifer is a young steer. It's a young cow. Okay? Imagine cutting that animal in half and putting half on one side and half on the other. Same with the goat, same with the ram, and then a bird on either side. God gave him instructions about what to do. Abram obeyed God, and it was messy. And I want you to understand, if you obey God, it's liable to get messy. There's going to be sacrifice involved. There's going to be work and effort involved in your obedience. Don't think that if you're walking in obedience to God, everything's easy. No, a lot of times it feels terrible. A lot of times it is scary. And after he did what God told him to do, what happens? He's done what God told him to do, and birds are coming down trying to take away the sacrifice. If you obey God in his very specific instructions, you do what he told you to do, you know what's liable to happen? It's not only going to be sacrificial, it's not only going to be hard work, it's not only going to be messy, but you're going to have to persevere because there are folks who are going to try and mess it up. There are circumstances that will come along and try and destroy what you've done. And you got to persevere. What did Abram do? He said, well, God, I did what you said, and sorry, the birds of prey have come down on the carcasses. Is that what he did? No. Abram drove them away. Birds of prey. This is no fun. Why is he doing this? Because God told him to. That's why. God told him to do it, and he obeyed God. So when God sees what he's done. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they'll be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Well, that's a happy thought. How would you like to know that the people you care about are going to be mistreated as slaves for over 400 years? We're talking a lot of suffering for a long time, and God says, I'm in control. See, you and I feel like if God's in control, I shouldn't have to suffer for 20 minutes. Well, try instead of 20 minutes, 20 years. 20 years? You've got to be kidding me. I'll be almost as old as you in 20 years. Okay? Well, no. Hold on. Let's try 200 years. I'll be dead in 200 years. Precisely. It'll be people who come after you who will continue the misery you're in. I want you to understand that when God showed up and told Abram what was coming, part of it was really happy news. You're going to have tons of descendants. Part of it was really bad news. Your descendants are going to be mistreated as slaves for 400 years. God was rounding when he said 400 years. It's actually a little longer than that. Wow. That's a promise from God? Yeah, let me give you another example of God's promise. God promises that Jesus will not return until the full number of martyrs have died. Are you serious? Yeah, read the book of Revelation. There are going to be people dying. I mean, I know there have been many people who've died for their faith in Jesus Christ, but you're saying that God is waiting until some more die? That's not the kind of God that I want to serve. Well, okay, so you need to get saved or you're going to burn in hell. Because what you are is an idolater who wants a God that fits with your imagination. The real God, who is God, the sovereign Lord who created all things and rules the universe, tells us what he's like. Because there are many things far worse than dying as a martyr. And one of them would be to waste your life chasing pleasure and security. So, he tells Abram what's coming. But that's not the end of the story. God also says to him, verse 14, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. Verse 15, you, however, will go to your forefathers in peace. In other words, you're going to die a peaceful death and be buried at a good old age. Well, that's nice. That's good. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of happy stuff, too. And the happiest stuff is when you realize that God's in control of all of it, and that he loves you more than you can imagine, and that he is able to take the worst of circumstances and make something beautiful. So, to repeat, God not only knows the future, God controls the future. And so God says in verse 17 and following, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. That's a lot of people groups. And God is saying, they're not in control. I am. God is saying, I'm going to give your descendants this land because God owns it all. National boundaries? Yes, government needs to have them. But guess what? God owns it all. He's in control. And when God showed up and manifested himself as light in the midst of darkness, the smoking pot and the flaming torch moving through where those animals were. God made a promise. He said, Abram, I'll deliver this land to your heirs. And you know what? God kept that promise. And there's still a lot of people in the world today who don't want it to be so. But when you try and go against what God says, you will discover that you are very finite and that he is infinite. Don't try and fight God. Believe him and obey him and rejoice in him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.